This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Author and attorney Michael Trachman joins us on the line from his office near Philadelphia. His new book is The Supreme's Greatest Hits, the 34 Supreme Court cases that most directly affect your life. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon.
A beautiful little book here. It really
Thank you.
Nice. It's almost, you can almost just fit it in your pocket. It's so, I really like it. It has a handbook type of feel to it.
Yeah, it was one of these things where less would be more, I thought.
So where did you, now where did the idea come from? You're sitting down, you're driving, you're riding an elevator or something, and you said, yeah, you know, we need that book.
It really started to bubble up during the Alito and Justice Roberts hearings out of the Senate, when it just became more and more apparent to me that there was a tremendous amount of misinformation that was being doled out to the electorate, to American voters, to the American public generally about the Supreme Court, and being as how the Supreme Court is the one institution in America and unique in the world to the extent it can protect our individual rights in a meaningful way, I thought that something should be done so that people, non-lawyers, could both understand and be entertained by the concept and be a little bit more informed about that institution.
And it's fascinating. I mean, there's the way the book is arranged. There's a lot of background about the Supreme Court and about the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. But then it explores case by case some of these big cases that some you've heard of them, some you probably haven't heard of them if you haven't been to law school. But they each one of them really does have a pretty dramatic impact on your life as a free citizen in this country.
Yeah, that's, you know, people frequently ask me how I distilled down the hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of Supreme Court cases into a 150-page book in just 34 cases. And I did it by asking myself that one question when I looked at a case, and that is this a case which truly affects everyday Americans in their everyday lives? And tried to focus only on those cases that really affect the way people live and really go a long way toward defining what we call our American way of life.
Michael, tell me first what it is you think from your research and the discussions you've had with folks since the book has come out, and perhaps your discussions as an attorney. What is it you think most folks don't know or perhaps don't understand about the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, I think that probably the first and most important thing is that the Supreme Court is an institution unique, really, in the history of the world, which has the power to just say no to the rest of the government on behalf of a single individual. I mean, this is unheard of. This is something that we take for granted, but which really strikes awe into the minds of people in other countries, to think that a single individual can take on the entire Congress and the President of the United States and have the actions of the President of the Congress right down to your local municipal zoning officer nullified because of our system, and that ultimate power resides in the Supreme Court of the United States. And that's the first thing that I think people need to know and people don't realize about the court.
Now, I don't want to spend too much time on it because we certainly do in grade school and in high school, but the Marbury versus Madison in 1803, I think, is significant not only because we're here in Madison's hometown and Jefferson's hometown, but it's important to point out to folks that the Supreme Court didn't start out and wasn't created it didn't start out the way that it is now, and certainly with this judicial review that it has now, which made it supreme, as you point out in your book, their folks, Thomas Jefferson, for example, was vehemently opposed to the idea that this court would have the power that it now has.
Oh, absolutely.
Today.
I mean, the Constitution did not set forth in so many words what the Supreme Court's power would be, and it didn't set forth in so many words that the Supreme Court would have the power to find unconstitutional and therefore nullify the action of a president or the action of a Congress in enacting certain laws. And Marbury versus Madison is the case through which Chief Justice Marshall, not only a great legal scholar but one of the cagiest politicians who ever lived, through Marbury, Chief Justice Marshall was able to set that precedent, kind of in a stare down with President Jefferson at the time. It's a remarkable case. It would make a great made-for-television movie, but it's what made the Supreme Court supreme.
And gave them this power of judicial review to look at Congress and say, nope, you know that law that you just passed? We decide today that it's null and void.
Yep, that's what Marbury versus Madison did. And in addition to doing that, it's an extremely interesting study in politics, in personality. Fascinating insight into our founders.
Michael Trachman is my guest, and the new book is The Supreme's Greatest Hits, the 34 Supreme Court cases that most directly affect your life. Let's talk about a few of these. What one really jumps out at you, Michael, when you know, after you have finished the book, that you feel perhaps most folks don't know about?
Well, there's an awful lot of cases. I think that perhaps, particularly in the day and age that we live in and the kinds of things that are on the news reports on a daily basis now, maybe one case that's very significant to talk about is a case that's referred to as the Steele Caesar case, Youngstown Sheet and Tube case. This is the case that defines how far the President of the United States can go in the face or using national security as a justification to subjugate what would otherwise be our inviolate rights. How to what extent does the president, using national security as a justification, get to do things that the president wouldn't necessarily otherwise be able to do? The Youngstown Sheet and Tube case is a case that arose out of the Korean War, President Truman, and it's very frequently cited and referenced today in Senate hearings all the time when our senators and congresspeople talk about the limits on the president's power in the age in which we live, and that's a case which continues to resonate, and which in the coming months may well be something that, although people don't know about it now, they're going to know about it soon.
So, tell us the background on the case, the facts of the case, and where the Supreme Court went with it.
Well, the facts of the case were this: this is a case that arose in 1952. When the Korean War was going forward, and President Truman was very concerned because the entire nation's steel industry gave notice that it was going to strike, and President Truman took the position that, hey, if the steel industry goes on strike, we're right here in the middle of a war, we could really have some problems from a national security point of view. So he issued an edict which said, nope, you can't strike. I'm taking over. The United States is going to take over the steel industry in the name of national security, because if it doesn't happen, our national security is jeopardized. Supreme Court got involved immediately. It was one of the quickest cases ever to go from start to finish in the history of our modern Supreme Court. And ultimately, what happened is that the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. That private property rights still trump almost anything else in this country, and that there are other ways to do this, and that we just don't have a system set up where the President of the United States, through the stroke of a pen, can take an entire industry. Arising out of that case came kind of a three-part test that was written in a companion opinion authored by Justice Jackson, and that's what is most cited today. And Justice Jackson essentially said, look, where Congress really hasn't acted and hasn't said anything specific, the president's got the power as the commander-in-chief to do a lot of things. And where Congress has specifically acted and said, here are the laws, the president can't, by a stroke of the pen, simply nullify that. That's not within his constitutional authority. But in between those two extremes, there is what Justice Jackson called a zone of twilight. And 90% of the situations that we find ourselves in, and which we find ourselves in today, fall within that zone of twilight. And in that zone of twilight, said Justice Jackson, the Supreme Court has to make a judgment call, has to balance out the pros and cons and the strengths and weaknesses of each party's positions and make a call. And that's what's happening now, and that's what's going to continue to happen now. As we struggle through these very serious national security issues we face, it's going to be the Supreme Court that's going to have the final word.
Do you think that there might be a case involving the Bush White House that would go before the Supreme Court in this regard?
Sure. We may be in the middle of one right now in respect to the subpoenas that are being served, in respect to the whole U.S. attorney business that's going on. That will most likely peter out and be settled, as most of these issues are settled. But then again, it might not. And if it doesn't get settled, those subpoenas are going to be issued. The president has professed that he's going to ignore them. There will be enforcement proceedings, criminal enforcement proceedings, that are commenced, and that will ultimately end up before the Supreme Court, as did, for example, the situation with President Nixon and Watergate in 1974. It's got all the same earmarks, although, as I said, it probably won't get there, but it might.
When the Supreme Court decided that Nixon had to turn over the tapes.
Correct. Correct. And you know, the interesting thing, and this is goes back to one of your initial questions about what people don't know about the Supreme Court. It's often said that the Supreme Court has no army. The Supreme Court has no way to enforce its own decisions. It depends upon its moral authority, and it depends upon the will of the people. In 1974, in Watergate, when the Supreme Court ordered President Nixon to turn over the tapes, he could have theoretically said, you know what, I'm not going to do it, and set up a confrontation where, I mean, picture the situation. The Supreme Court has federal marshals at its disposal. It sends over the federal marshals. President Nixon has the Secret Service at his disposal, to say nothing of the National Guard, and you've got a standoff of force between competing agencies of government in respect to an order of the Supreme Court. Fortunately, he knew at that time that if he ignored the Supreme Court, he would surely be impeached. The will of the people was what it was, and hopefully that would continue to be the case. But one of the things that keeps me up at night, and one of the reasons why I wrote this book, is because unless the people out there, unless the electorate continues to understand just how important the Supreme Court is and acts that way, maybe, just maybe, a president or a Congress will think it could get away with ignoring the Supreme Court because the hue and cry in the public would not be sufficient and it would just blow over. And if that ever happened, serious, serious damage would happen to our American way of life.
Michael Trachman is my guest. The book is The Supreme's Greatest Hits, the 34 Supreme Court cases that most directly affect your life. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you've got a question or a comment for Michael, give us a call. Michael, the recent election between Bush and Gore, and it was actually led to a Supreme Court case, Bush v. Gore. For a lot of folks, let's just say half of America, it left a sort of a bad taste in their mouth about the politicization of the Supreme Court, and a lot of folks thought that the justices were playing politics and getting involved in the Florida recount when they had no business.
Well, some of the folks who thought that happened to sit on the Supreme Court, which makes it even more serious. Yes, that Bush v. Gore, setting aside its result, and you know, it's not my job to commentate on in this book on the correctness of those kinds of decisions on, but it is my job to talk about how that decision was made and how it, the fashion in which it was decided and how far the court went departs from what the court usually does. That was a decision, that was a case which had the following as background. Almost always, the Supreme Court allows states to decide certain of their own matters, and matters pertaining to elections and how states run their own elections are almost always left by the Supreme Court to individual states to figure out for themselves. The federal government generally doesn't stick its nose into that. And the majority of the Supreme Court justices back in 2000 when this happened were advocates of states' rights. They were people who had issued many decisions in their capacity as Supreme Court justices saying, we got to give states more rights, not less rights. The Supreme Court has to stay out of states' issues even more than it usually does. Notwithstanding that, in Bush v. Gore, those very same justices issued a decision which overruled and trumped the decision of state authorities, including the Florida Supreme Court, reversed what the Florida Supreme Court had done, and in the process, and I hate to say it this way, but I'm just quoting basically what other justices have said, in the process, Republican justices caused the election of a Republican president. Supreme Court justices almost never get personal. They almost never criticize each other on a personal level. They'll stick to philosophical differences in interpretation of the law. Here, one justice in particular, John Paul Stevens, wrote an opinion which basically said we've seriously harmed the credibility of the Supreme Court, because by all appearances, this was a political decision, not a legal decision. That almost never happens, and that troubled a lot of people.
Which gets to sort of underscores and your thoughts and your comments in the afterword of your book, where you write about democracy American style. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, democracy American style is fundamentally rooted in the concept that we are a government of laws, not a government of men. And what that means is that it really shouldn't matter to our baseline rights, to our fundamental rights and principles. It shouldn't matter who's in power. What should matter is what our laws are. And the people who staff government at any particular time shouldn't have the ability to change our rights. They should simply have the power to act within the governmental structure, and we have a constitution which stands up and trumps everything else, notwithstanding who's in power. That's government American style. The protector of that is solely the Supreme Court. Congress has its interests. Congress gets elected. Congress has to cater to the majority of the people in the country in order to get elected. So too the president. Supreme Court justices are lifetime appointees on purpose, because they're not supposed to be in a position where they have to respond to the will of the majority. They're supposed to do what's right as opposed to what's popular. And what's right is to make sure we are a government of laws, even if in certain circumstances the majority of the people in the country want to depart from the law and do something that would otherwise violate the Constitution. All of that depends, as I said before, upon the continuing moral authority of the Supreme Court, and more importantly, the fact that the people who run the government, the people out there, the people who elect our officials and our presidents, understand how important it is and stick up for it, make sure that it doesn't get violated. That's important, and that's why I wrote this book.
Michael Trachman, author and attorney. His new book is The Supreme's Greatest Hits, The 34 Supreme Court Cases That Most Directly Affect Your Life. A beautiful book, a very important book. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.